أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been looking at Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, a chapter of the Quran, also known as the heart of the Quran, because of the role of the heart, the role that the heart plays in our body of giving us life, is just as Surah Yasin in the Quran gives the rest of the Quran life. It gives the rest of the Quran the vivacity and the energy to be able to continue to give the beautiful teachings that give us life, and in turn give us a life not only in the physical but also in the spiritual sense and in the intellectual sense of life. Today we want to continue and look at verses number 34 and number 35. As we recall from verse number 33, God talked about the fact that one of His signs, one of the powers of God or the signs of His majesty, is that out of the dead earth He gives life. And so we plant seeds in the ground and we get food, we get vegetables, we get fruits, we get different kinds of grains that we eat, that we use to sustain ourselves. And as we mentioned in that discussion, that this is also an allusion to the fact that God can give, if God can give the earth life after the barren cold winters in which the ground was dead and desolate, then He can give life to us, to ourselves, after we have been dead and buried in our graves for hundreds or thousands of years. Before we go into the understanding of verse 34 and 35, let us have a listen to the Arabic, the English translation, and then we'll come back and deliberate on some of the concepts that God brings forth in these two verses, in which He says the following.
وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونَ لِيَأْكُلُوا مِن ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ
And we have made to grow thereon the earth gardens of date palms and vine, and we have caused springs to gush forth from it, so that they may enjoy its fruit and enjoy that which their hands have worked for. Will they then render us no thanks and follow our guidance? When we look in the Quran, we see that God has talked about various kinds of fruits and pleasures that we enjoy in this world. And obviously, you know, these were mentioned at a time and at a community where they only had a limited knowledge, let's say, of fruits that grew in that region. And so obviously when we look in the Quran, we might not see fruits or foods that we may enjoy in our own country or that are imported in from other parts of the world. And so God does, though, mention many different fruits and varieties in the Noble Quran. In this passage, God talks about two particular foods that we consume. One are the dates, and one are grapes. Now, why did God mention these specific two? Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati, in his Tafsir al-Nur, he gives the following few points of why God might have only singled out these particular two fruits out of the plethora of things which are available for God to speak about. Point number one is, he says that this may be mentioned, or these may be mentioned rather, because of the role that these two play in human consumption. Again, it might have been because these were two common things which were consumed at the time of the early Muslim community, and so they were mentioned in this verse. That's one of the possibilities that Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati mentions. He also says that however it may be because of the ease of accessibility, that these were readily available, they were grown within that society, and so the Arabs had access to these too, readily at you know, and many times in the season, and so therefore God mentions them within this passage. He also says it might be possible that because of the variety of species, there are multiple types of grapes available, different colors, different flavors, different sizes, different textures, and dates are the same. There are multiple dates. The date palm tree itself is unique, and in various different parts of the Middle East, of North Africa, and other countries where dates are grown, even in North America, that there are so many different types of them, and so God mentions them and speaks about them in this passage. And also it may be, according to Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati, because of the fact that these two foods can be consumed in different ways, either fresh off of the tree, you can pick them and immediately eat them, Or they can be dehydrated, they can be dried and stored and eaten at a later date. And they obviously maintain a lot of their freshness, a lot of the nutrients which are within them. Whatever the case may be, God mentions these two fruits, these two things which we consume. And obviously we can look at that from multiple reasons, as the commentator has himself mentioned. But the fact remains that God has spoken about them, and these are things that we should also reflect and think upon. Obviously in the overall scheme that God gives us in terms of the death and the resurrection, and the fact that now he's talking about the blessings which he has conferred upon us. After having given us life, he gives us many different blessings and bounties, and he asks us, how will we use them? And we see this in the second verse under review, that it's not only about having the food, about having the blessings of God, but God tells us that, you know, you may make use of this, but ultimately God says that, will you not give thanks? And so it's not just about mentioning grapes and dates and food and things to eat and drink, but it's all about giving thanks to God, that will we thank him for the blessings which he has given to us. As for our takeaway messages, let us finish and conclude this discussion with a few points to think about and to try and implement within our day-to-day lives. Point number one is that the duty of the human being is that when it comes to the divine blessings that God has conferred upon us, it is first to recognize them, and once we've recognized them, is to be thankful for them. To recognize that God has given us a variety of food, for example, including, and you know, in addition to so many other blessings, and then to be thankful for those blessings. And as a side note, to be thankful of the blessings of God does not just mean to say, thank you, God, or to make a prayer of thanks. Those are important without a doubt. But ultimately, the true meaning of thankfulness to God is to use that blessing in the way that God would want us to use it. In the case of food, it means not to waste food, not to throw away food, to only eat as much as we can eat, to not, you know, fill our plates and then throw food in the garbage. To thank God for food is to use it in the way that he intended for us to use that blessing. The second point, and we'll conclude with this, is that when we thank God for the blessings which he has given us, when we acknowledge them and we thank him for what he has given to us, this will help create a further spirit of gratitude, of thankfulness within ourselves, within the human being. When we acknowledge God as being the provider and we thank him, this will help us to become even a greater admirer of God, and to further thank him for everything that he has given to us, things that we know of, that we see in front of us, and even those things that we have no idea that are there but that benefit us in one way or another. We close and we ask God to give us the ability to always recognize his blessings and to be able to thank him for all that he has given to us and all that he has conferred upon us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.